We got Toffs in here. That's good. I'll try to make it fun and exciting. Rapidly changes his notes. Yeah, how am I doing so far? This is good. Have you ever had something really big, you know, big news that you feel like you want to share with somebody? Or maybe it's like something really exciting. Maybe it's a big request that you want to ask of them, a favor that you need to ask. And you know it's going to be a big ask, so you make sure that you've kind of waited for all the conditions to be right so that they will really receive this well, right? You know, like in my house, people need to make sure that I've had my coffee before they want to give me any kind of news or information or make any requests, right? Or maybe you wait till they've just come back from the gym. Right? They're feeling good, they're pumped up, blood's flowing, endorphins are going, they're relaxed, they're ready to hear what you have to tell them. Or maybe you've waited for that moment where the lights dim in the restaurant, the music is on, their favorite song is on, and you get down on one knee and you propose. Have you had that encounter? Maybe big or small, but it happens all the time, right? We think regularly about the significance of what we want to convey, the message we want to get across, and then we think very carefully about how do we want the receiver to receive this? How do we want them to be ready to hear what we have to ask? You know, that's kind of where we get the idea when we're on the phone. Are you sitting down? I have some big news. Are you sitting down? Are you ready for this? And it's funny how often we really think ahead to those moments, right, where we have something to share with someone else, something to ask, and we think about how are they going to receive this, but how often do we actually think about ourselves, am I prepared to hear or to receive what this person might be saying? How often we think ahead to how we want to communicate it, but do we think about how we're going to hear something from someone, especially if the speaker is God? Especially God's word. How do we prepare ourselves to be ready to receive what God is saying to us? If it's God that's doing the talking, are we ready? That's really what we're looking at in this passage in Luke. We've been going through the series of Luke, Jesus' ministry in Galilee, and this section of Luke, we're in chapter 8. And if you want to look at the Bibles that are just behind you on your chairs, it's page 979. Chapter 8 of Luke. Now, we're at a moment where Jesus is really attracting a crowd. I mean, it's getting big, and it's kind of moved from a ministry to a movement, right? And it's actually something where a lot of people are coming with him from one town to the other. In fact, let me just start with verse 1 of chapter 8, and you'll see the crowd building. And then we'll get to kind of the core of it, and then we'll walk our way through. After this, Jesus traveled about. This is page 979, Luke chapter 8. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. He's proclaiming a message. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. And while a large crowd, notice the crowd, was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, so we've already heard many villages, many towns, town after town, large crowd, he told this parable. So he's got everybody right in the palm of his hands, ready to give this message. Let me keep reading. He says this. He tells this story. Verse 5. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And when he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." It's kind of like he says, there you have it, folks. Who's in? Right? If you have ears, this is my message. And when he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. The question for us is, do we have ears to hear? But he goes on. He explains it to his disciples. They ask him what it means, and he says, verse 10, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but To others, I speak in parables so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. Even if you hear it, you may not understand it. But this is the meaning of the parable, he says, verse 11. The seed is the word of God. I love it when Jesus just explains it for us. That's kind of helpful when you're teaching on something. Like, well, what does Jesus say about the story he just shared? I like that. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And when the devil comes and takes, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. And the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those who, for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Then he goes on to say this: no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. That's what we want to talk about today. How do we listen? Consider carefully how we listen. For those who have will be given more, and for those who do not have, even what they think they have will be taken away from them. So today, our task is we're going to consider carefully how we listen to the word. I almost wanted to call this how to listen to a sermon, but that would be a little bit self-seeking. I think it's more like how do we listen to the word of God? How do we listen and engage and respond? How do we respond with readiness to what the word is saying to us? And the main idea here is that God is always speaking. God is always speaking through his word. And yet there are some barriers, aren't there, to how we hear and receive what God has to say. God speaks through his word. God speaks through his Holy Spirit. I mean, he speaks in creation. You walk outside and you just see what he's made. He speaks through the people around us who are following Jesus, who have wisdom to share in our lives. And he speaks through our experience in life. He's always speaking. But the question is, are we listening? Are we listening and are we ready to respond, especially to the word of God? Jesus says the seed is the word of God. So in some ways, it's a really simple story, isn't it? I mean, it's super familiar. If you've been growing up in church for a long time, you've heard it 1,000 times, and you're probably already at the point in this talk where you're like, I know what his points are going to be. I know how he's going to end it. He's going to ask us, which soil are we? Done. I'm sorted, right? I've got Jesus. I don't need anything else. This is good. But I actually wonder if that's the story Jesus is telling us here. You know, we're so used to hearing this as kind of a one-off. This is the message of salvation. Do we receive it? Do we not? Done. But Jesus is actually saying the seed is the word of God. And these soils that we talk about aren't just kind of a one-time soil. That would be like making a mistake of growing something in a garden only one time. You do all the work of preparing the soil. You throw a seed out. Something comes up. Something doesn't come up. And you finish with it, and that's that. But farmers, man, they're out there year after year, season after season. So what I think what we're looking at here today is actually, what is our season after season, week after week, even daily response and readiness to the word, which is always being cast out, and the soil of our heart, which can always be prepared. You know, we can't be the ones who make the fruit of the gospel grow in our lives, can we? This is not the work that we can do. We actually cannot do that. That's the work of the Spirit through Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross. But we can be the people who work the soil. We can plow it up, we can weed it out, and we can get it ready for the word. And I want to suggest to us today that this is not just a one-off thing, but it's a daily, lifetime thing. Tending to the soil of our hearts to be ready to receive what God is always saying through his word. So where am I getting that? You just heard in this text, right? Jesus says, consider carefully how you hear, how you listen. He says, let him who has ears to hear in verse 8. in verse 21. This is a great little one. Just in case you missed it, Luke reinforces it again with this odd little scene about Jesus' mothers and brothers. Look at verse 19. It's where I stopped. Now, Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. And someone told him, your mothers and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. And here's his response, verse 21. He replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. So this is all about how we hear and receive God's word. And I think that's not just a one-time thing. That's like a daily, hour-by-hour thing. In fact, what's this little story? Let me just do another little aside here because it's in the text, so I want to speak to it. What do we do with this odd little thing about the lamp on the stand? What's that all about? Like, we're talking about soils, and then we're talking about lamps. Jesus, you're mixing metaphors here, right? But it's in this case, the lamp is the word of God, right? It's the word. You don't hide it. You don't sort of stuff it under your bed. You put it up on a high point on a stand, and you let its light illuminate everything else. And I think what it's really easy for us to do is to kind of come to God's word and say, what are my problems? What am I facing today? What are life circumstances? What's going on in the world? And what does God's word say about it? And that's a really good practice. But actually what Jesus says is what you do is you take the word and you put it on the lamp at the highest point in the room, and you come under its light. So we actually go to the word to say, what does the word have to say? We put ourselves under it rather than putting it under our beds and putting ourselves over it. We say, what does the word say about my life situation, about my circumstances, about what's happening in the world? We see everything else by the light of God's word. So consider carefully how we listen. How do we do this? You ready for that? You ready for that, Tofts? How do we do this? How do we tend to the soil of our lives so that we're ready to receive and respond to the word of God? What are some of the gardening tools, if you will? See, I told you I'd make it exciting. What are the gardening tools? Nothing gets young people more excited than gardening tools. So, let me suggest this. We hear the word of God with more than just our ears. Right? We hear with more than just our ears. We can listen. This is where it gets weird. We can listen with our eyes. We can listen with our hearts. We can listen to God's word with our minds. And we can listen with our hands and our feet. So let me show you what I mean by that. We're just going to walk through what Jesus said as he explains the story of the four soils. We're going to walk through. Number one, we listen with our eyes. And here's what we do. We listen with our eyes, open and alert, to where the enemy is trying to swoop in, like those birds, and snatch away the truth of God's word from our hearts. Before it even sinks in, we listen with our eyes open to the enemy that's at work. See this? Chapter 8, verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. So I think we should listen to God's word with eyes open to when the enemy just wants to swoop in right at the beginning and snatch it away, right? 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion, a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Elsewhere in Scripture, it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we don't like to talk about it a lot, do we? But we have an enemy. We have a supernatural enemy that stalks like a lion, stalks its prey. And you know what lions do to hunt down their prey? They just go to the place where the animal's getting fed. They go to the water source, and they just wait. Because they know, here comes the animals to the water source. Here comes the animals to where they're feeding. And while they're feeding, I'm going to pounce. So I think believers, don't miss the fact that when you come to God's word, when you come, even, I mean, you probably encountered it on your way to church service this morning, right? All the best arguments in our marriage happen on Sunday mornings, right? Every obstacle between where you live and this church building was an attempt, potentially, to block your ears from hearing what God has for you today. All those pesky little things, even as you come to the word during the week, and you realize, I don't have time, I better just check the headlines, check Twitter. See what's going on in the news. All those little attempts to just kind of steal it away before you even get to it. the lies that happen in your head as you open up Scripture and you think, I don't know. I don't know if I believe this. Is this stuff even true? Might just be the enemy coming to you just as you feed. Just at the point where you want to draw on water, the enemy, like a lion, just pounces. Like these birds, they just kind of come out of the air and snatch up the seed before you even get to it. Now, I don't want to suggest that there's a demon around every corner or that, you know, it's this giant thing. But you know what? Jesus says it right here. There's an enemy that's at war with us, and that enemy knows that the best kind of Christian is a fruitless Christian. And so the best place to go to stop fruit from growing is right at the source, right at the very beginning, before it even falls into the soil, to snatch it away. You know, our family spent a year living in the countryside out in Georgia, not the country Georgia, the state of Georgia, which is as rural as it gets in the United States. And somebody gave us 3 baby chickens. I mean, they were tiny little baby birds. And we had them, we kept them inside for a little while for the first few weeks, then we put them out in the grass outside, and it was just really great. And one day, Samuel, our youngest, comes running in the house, and he says, "Mom, Dad, I just saw an owl fly away with one of our chickens." And we were like, "I don't think that's an owl." We go running outside of the house, we look up into the sky, and actually Pam was able to see a hawk with this baby chick, I think its name was Rigby. It was so cute. Flying off into the neighboring field with this chicken kind of dangling by its throat. Sad story, isn't it? We had a little field side grave service. We memorialized it. But you know what else we did? Those other 2 chickens, man, we were on patrol. We had a rota. Someone was out there standing guard every time, walking around these things, kind of like, I mean, basically a big part of my sabbatical was chicken patrol duty. Just standing guard over these other 2 chickens. Is that how we come to Scripture? Actually praying. Here's the garden tool. Praying with our eyes open to how the enemy might be trying to swoop in right before it even takes root in the soil to just snatch it away. Do we come on Sunday morning prepared and ready to hear the word? Or do we let those obstacles that just kind of frustrate and annoy us and get under our skin completely block our readiness to receive? Jesus says, this happens. And I think one of our ways that we can do it, one of our weapons, our garden tools, is prayer with eyes open to how the enemy might be at work in snatching that away. Number 2, we listen to God's word with our hearts. We listen for the word and we respond in faith and we let it take root. Look at verse 13. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. And what I'm talking about here, what Jesus illustrates, is how we come to the word in a way that allows it to go deeper. It falls into the soil, but we're ready for it by letting it go deep. And I actually really like this image of how, even in the body, you know, we can hear with our ears, but how do we listen with our hearts? We let it sink a little deeper from here, up here, where our ears are, to the heart. And the alternative is actually being shallow soil, right? It dies of lack of moisture because the soil isn't deep enough. The roots can't go down deep enough. So how do we get God's word deep into our hearts in a way that it comes alive? And I would like to say the gardening tool here is the Holy Spirit. We can actually prepare for the word that God's speaking to us through his word by inviting the Holy Spirit to speak as we read. It doesn't have to be a big supernatural thing. It doesn't have to be fireworks. In fact, I think a regular diet of just reading Scripture and coming to it and saying, "God, what do you have for me today?" includes inviting the Holy Spirit to sort of have it lifted off the pages into your heart and let it take root. Let it go down deep. So I can tell you, just I don't always like to do this from a personal story, but one of my own, it just happened a couple of weeks ago. And it was kind of, I try to read every day. I'm reading my way through the Bible kind of day at a time, just a little bit. A few of us are doing that. And I invite you to, if you don't do that, whether you expect it to be awesome every day or just if it's a regular diet of just always getting through, just try it if you've never tried it. So to me, it was an ordinary Wednesday. And I was on Psalm 38. And I like the way God did this for me because it's not even a great psalm, right? It's like not beautiful poetry or fireworks or anything. It was just, in fact, it was the most ordinary verse in the world. You know what it was? Psalm 38, 18. I confess my iniquity. I'm troubled by my sin. Really simple. No poetry there. I confess my iniquity. I'm troubled by my sin. And I'd sat back and I said, Holy Spirit, would you just gently show me where my sin is? See, that's letting it go from my ears down to my heart and inviting the Holy Spirit to say and to show where this really takes root in my life. And I have to tell you, just in that moment, didn't expect it, but it was all of a sudden like I was having open heart surgery. I mean, just kind of like I was laying out before God and the Holy Spirit was doing a work with his word in my heart. And I journaled down a few things, shared them with Pam on one of our date nights. It's not the best date night in the world, but it was a conversation about my sin and confessing it. And then shared it with a few other people. And, you know, I think that's what it is. I think that's taking the word and saying, Holy Spirit, can you be the moisture here? Can you help this sink down roots into my life in a real way? Number three, we listen. Well, we listen with our eyes open, and we listen with our hearts open to what the Holy Spirit's saying through the word, and then we listen with our minds. Okay, look at what Jesus says. Verse 14, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. I like that image. Choked. I think about it, and it's kind of like how Jesus describes it. The weeds grow up alongside the word. And it isn't that you don't have enough word in your life. Maybe this is you, right? Maybe this is your soil situation right now. Maybe it isn't that there's a lack of the word in your life. You've got plenty of it. Maybe you have daily stuff and family stuff, and you've got Sunday services and home group. But the thing is, there's weeds of the mind that are growing up right alongside that are sort of making it too crowded for anything to grow and mature. There's other things that are cluttering the space of the soil in your life. What kinds of weeds? Well, Jesus says it, life's worries. How many times you wake up and your first thought is that thing you're anxious about? Rather than, God, your loving kindness is better than life. And let that start your day. Your worries. I mean, I can spend a lot of mental time and energy in the soil of my life full of weedy worries, right? Thinking about the next thing that's going to happen. Worried about how this is going to go. Worried about whether this person likes me or that person is okay with me or are things all right? You know, just all that stuff. It's worries. Life's worries is a weed that can contaminate the growth of the word in our lives. What else? Jesus says it's the riches of life, right? The mind is kind of cluttered with getting and spending on the next thing and how are we going to maintain the things that we have and protect them. Life's riches and wealth can be a thing that consume our minds to the point where the word can't really get in there and grow up into something that's fruitful. The riches of the world. And Jesus also identifies that it's the pleasures that come in. You know, we're saturated by entertainment these days. Entertainment and pleasures and things that occupy our minds in a way that are really just weeds that just need to be pulled out and plucked out. Now, I'm not saying all pleasure is bad, but Jesus says this is something that if you don't regularly tend to the soil of your life, the worries, the riches, the pleasures can grow up alongside the word and choke them out. It's choked. Because it's just way too crowded. So the gardening tool here is being transformed by the renewal of our minds. It's praying with our minds. It's hearing with our minds. The book of Romans, Paul writes, be transformed by the renewal of your minds. Colossians 3:2, Paul writes, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And I love this one from Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about them. We can receive the word and hear it with our eyes open, our hearts open to the Holy Spirit, and with this transforming of the mind. So, a couple weeks ago we talked about subtraction rather than addition, right? What are the things we need to let go of or yank out? And here it is, these weeds that we need the good gardener to sort of pull out of the soil of our lives. So what needs weeding in your life? If you want to hear from God in a way that bears fruit, keep weeding that garden of your mind, the worries, yank them out. Riches and pleasures, just pull them away and make space so that you're ready to hear what God has to say in his word. Number four, we listen with our hands and with our feet. Right? What does Jesus say? Chapter 8, 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, who retain it, and by persevering produce a good crop. There's another translation that says that brings forth fruit with patience. So if you don't know what that persevering word is, it's patience. It's giving it time. And I say that we can listen with our hands and our feet because we actually put it into practice. We do something with it. As Jesus says about his mothers and his brothers, you want to be part of Jesus' family, you hear the word and you do something with it. You put it into practice. You put feet to it. You put hands to it. And that takes time. We had some friends visiting in town this week, Phil and Ruth Ann. And Phil is, he started basically a very simple ministry in prisons, partly because he was a concerned dad and his son ended up in the wrong situation and ended up on the inside of jail. And so as he went to visit his son, some of his son's friends said, hey, you should meet with this guy, Papa Phil. And so they would meet one-on-one. And he had this amazing ministry that started just one by one with him meeting with different guys. And you know what? The prison system shut it down. The prison system shut it down and told him that he couldn't keep doing that, but he could keep meeting with one guy. And in hindsight, Phil actually said, you know what, this was the best thing that ever happened to me in my ministry. Because I met with this one guy, and that one guy went back and told his friends in the prison system. And then that two guys went and told three more guys. And then pretty soon, the entire dorm in that part of the prison was known as the God dorm. Because there were like Bible studies happening all over the place. And Phil, if he had just given up, when the jail said, okay, you can't come back, and you can't keep eating with all these guys, if you'd just given up, instead of persevering with faithfulness and fruitfulness, this whole thing wouldn't have happened. But God was doing a work through the ministry of his word as Phil met with one individual, and that individual took it back and shared it with a couple of other guys. He says it's the best thing that ever happened in his ministry. So the gardening tool here, I think, is perseverance. What do I mean by that? It's faithfulness. Over time, it's responding with your hands and with your feet. It's doing something. So for me, the other day, Psalm 38, I confess my iniquities, right? I actually shared with Pam, and talked to a couple of guys. And I'm trying to see the word of God that's rooted in my heart actually lived out in a way that brings greater freedom and fruitfulness in the lives of other people as I talk with them about it. So when you prayed with your eyes alert to the lies of the enemy, when you've asked the Holy Spirit to let it sink in and take root in your heart, when you've weeded out the choking distractions of the mind, you put hands and feet to it, and you respond with faithful obedience over time. So I think our opportunity, our chance to respond this morning is really to consider carefully how we listen to the Word of God. And maybe you're thinking, actually, I just need more of the Word of God in my life. And I want to encourage you in that. I think it's so simple to just have a daily, simple way that you listen to and come under the lamp of God's Word in your life. What are your daily practices to hear it, to retain it, and to bear fruit? How do you come prepared each week to receive what's taught in here or in TOFs? How do you come each week to the word in your small groups, your home groups? I also think this is about the good news of the gospel. This is the story where you might be sitting here thinking, I have no idea what this guy's talking about, but I'm interested in this Jesus. And I would simply say to you, I invite you to let Jesus do the work. Jesus can come in. You just say, welcome Jesus into my life and into my heart, and be my defender against the enemy who would come and try to snatch things away. Let the Holy Spirit make its home in your heart. Let Jesus, the master gardener, do the weeding of distracting thoughts and pleasures and riches from your mind. Jesus can do this. That's the gospel. That God sent his son, that scripture calls the word, right? The word made flesh. That seed that falls into your heart and begins to grow into something. That's Jesus, the living word, taking root in your life. And I invite you to do that if you haven't. But then for the rest of us, for people who are struggling day in and day out, to just be faithful. And we hope to be fruitful. How do we do that? We listen to the word with our ears. We say, where is the enemy at work? What have been the attempts to distract me from what he wants to show me? We listen with our hearts. How do we have faith? And you can just come to Scripture each time and say, have I asked the Holy Spirit to take this word and to let it sink deep into my life so that it takes root? Maybe you're in a place where you need to recognize places that your mind is preoccupied with weeds that are choking out the possibility of hearing what God's saying. So I would ask you, what worries, riches, or pleasures do you need to release and let go of? And then finally, we respond with our hands and our feet. What can I do to see this bear fruit in my life today? That's something that we can say. Each time we hear Scripture, even in response to this morning, as we've been together, you can say, what can I do by God's grace, not my efforts, to see this bear fruit and lived out in my life today with my hands and my feet? Let me pray for us. Pray for us as a church, as a fellowship, and as a church on mission. God, you call us to be faithful and to see a fruitful harvest, and that often means that we are the sowers of your word. But we know, God, that you are the farmer, that you have given us your word, and we place ourselves under it, and we say, God, would you clear out the soil in our lives to be able to better respond to what you're saying to us already in Scripture? I pray for us as a church that you would free us of the distractions of an enemy that would want to come and pluck away, even right now as I speak, the truth of your gospel as it's sown. I pray, God, that you would bring your Holy Spirit to allow the word spoken here today to take root in a deeper way in our souls. Would you do that by your Spirit through the power of your word and the Spirit illuminating it? And God, I pray for my friends and for myself that you would weed out the things in our minds, that you would allow us to hear and to respond with an uncluttered, unchoked maturity. Would you let us grow up in you because the other things have been weeded out and thrown away? And God, I pray that you would allow us to live this out, to carry it with feet that are ready for the gospel, to share with others, with hands that are eager to serve in your kingdom based on what we've seen and seen take root in our own lives in your word. So God, would you equip us as a people, as a church, and as a mission that we could see a harvest in Tower Hamlets, in Bethnal Green, that is 100-fold, and that brings you glory. Amen.